ideas or answers given. One sec. Oh, Siri to say what? How they better go? Siri, they talk something.
Hey.
So, yeah. Let me get back to it. Today we'll be just vibing on some interesting topics, and I think last year, let me just give like a more like a story behind what we're about to discuss. So last year there was Web3 and most people were hopping on it, and I even had some issues with it because I noticed some designers were branding themselves as just Web3 product designers. I had issue because why are you just limiting yourself to that? Because you can just call yourself a product designer and still be doing stuff for Web3. But you had people doing that. And fast forward, you realize that the hype, the NFT hype, whatever, blockchain, it just went down the drain. And this year too, there's this hike in terms of AI in our workflow. Now you have ChatGPT, you have Midjourney, you have DALL-E. Then artists, designers, some are scared, some are not. We would like to talk about how we generally see it, whether it will be of benefit or not. So basically that's what we'll be talking about this episode. I don't know who will be starting first. Sam, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. Just like you say. So last year, around this time, everybody was just designing Web3. Me, I didn't understand the whole concept of Web3 because it was new to me. So I was just trying to take my time because I did not want to believe that it was just you using a dark theme and using some interesting colors. And that was it. I refused to believe it was just limited to the visuals because I wanted to believe there was something more deeper to it that most people were not considering when they were designing all these mockups they were putting out. I don't know where it is now. I'm pretty sure Web3 is still a thing, but it looks like the hype for the Web3 stuff died. And now this year, we have a lot more tools coming up, which is not just for designers, but a lot more people. I think the most common thing is that people are scared it might take over the jobs of designers. DALL-E came somewhere last year. I tried it and it was pretty impressive, the things it could do. And Midjourney is even crazier. I don't know if any of you have tried Midjourney, but you guys should. It's amazing, the things it can put out if you give it the right prompt. But yeah, let's see. I think AI is definitely the future. Everybody in this world will be mistaken if they are scared of AI, or they are scared that AI will take their jobs, or they are against AI, because it's definitely going to be the future. And so much so that me, Seth, I invest in some of the companies on the stock market. That's how much I believe in it. It's an ETF. It's called BOTS. You guys can look at it. Right. So see it like this. Back in the 20th century, people were using a lot of pen and paper things. Before the computer came, people were using pen and paper. And I'm sure when the computer came, some people still were like, why a computer? I don't understand. This is too difficult. Blah, 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 blah. So I just stick to my pen and paper. Those people, when computers became very common, everybody was using it. Where did you leave them? Those people were unable to leverage it. They were left behind. Because if you can't use the computer to do some stuff, you'll definitely lose your job, or you'll be left behind and some small boy be will come and take away your job and make more money than you. Right? It's a tool made by humans. And so it will be wise for you to find ways of leveraging it. Because I strongly believe AI and basically like new technology in general will not replace anybody's job. I mean, it definitely can replace some jobs done by humans, like the robotics industry, like manufacturing cars and stuff like that. Robots do a better job, but it will definitely replace those who are unable to leverage it, right? So back to the example I was giving in the 1950s. I mean, if you used to do your accounting with pen and paper or whatever, or in some books, and then Excel came and you're like, oh, Excel, you don't understand Excel. Oh, this is a new company. It will probably die. And you don't find ways of leveraging it to make your work better. Fast forward, and it's clear. Excel will fade you out. And so moving forward, I think it will be smarter for everybody to find out which AI is in your field. So like artists, for example, with this Midjourney thing, and ChatGPT for copywriters, and there are quite a number of AI tools that are going to make our life better. So if you are in that industry, you need to find ways of leveraging those tools to make your business successful. I strongly feel like that's what people should do and not be against it, because no matter what you're going to do, it's going to be the future. So you see that you join the bus or you get left behind. That's personally what I think.
Yeah man. This one, they preach. I mean, I side with what everything you said. Reagan, Mike, do you guys have something to say?
Some say everything we want to say in the 2-3 minutes you spoke. Yeah, we'll take some jobs, but then it's up to you as an individual to kind of level up to whatever technologies are there. Because like I was giving the example of the pen and paper and the tools like Excel coming and all that. So yeah, things like ChatGPT, DALL-E, yes, they'll come. They'll make people's job easier. But then if you're an artist, you're a copywriter, you just have to find a way to make use of those tools to continue doing your job. Just to add to one thing, is it the Midjourney or there's this other one I forgot? I realized that most of the artists had problem with the whole copyright thing, right? Where AI was using their kind of art to generate other art, which I think is a valid point. Once that issue is solved, I feel like everything should be fine.
Nice one. Mike.
So for me, it's what I'm about to say may sound weird, but I'm not necessarily an early adopter when it comes to all these new technologies. Reagan mentioned DALL-E or something. I don't even know what that is. ChatGPT, never tried it before. Just because I want to see where they will go. You understand? Not like I'm not following what the discussions that is being had around ChatGPT and things, but I'm following, but not necessarily like following it very closely. Like, oh, this thing is going to change this, this is that. You understand? I'm just giving it some time to see how it will play out, right? But then, when it comes to the tools that I need to do my job, for instance, those ones, I actually care about them, right? So let's say something like Grammarly, for instance. If I'm creating a design, I do need copy somewhere. Or at least I need to make sure that what I type makes sense, no typos, nothing. So then I might use Grammarly to check. You understand? So the things that matter to my job, that make my everyday workflow easier, those ones, I actually pay attention to them.
Yeah. I did get you. So yeah, my take on AI will always be the same. You can use it as a leverage if you're a designer, wherever you find yourself in. Now I'll just share a quick story where when I was in the electrical engineering field, we went underground, and normally the machines underground, they are tracks, you have tracks and loaders. And it got to a time they invented new machines where it was automated. So now instead of you being underground, you can actually operate the machine as surface. And people were complaining that, Charlie, this thing they can't take on a job then, since, because yes, in actual sense, it will take some people them a job, especially the offsiders and things. But if you are an operator, definitely you have to then leverage that particular thing, know how to use it. And if you're an offsider, now you have to look at it from a point, okay, how can I improve myself so that I'll still be in the game? You get it? That's the same thing, like same mentality I normally use when approaching AI. I look at it from a point where I'm like, okay, is this thing really affecting my work directly or indirectly? Funny enough, this AI also needs an expertise behind it. So let's say if I want to come up with a copy for a particular ad, I just come up with a particular script and prompt that will match whatever I want to see ChatGPT generate for me. And at that point, you need someone who is well-versed in that particular field. So yeah, as a designer, artist, like definitely your expertise they need, because your prompts where you will show the output. So if you know you are skilled as an individual, a copywriter, whatever, and you want to use that to your advantage, use them. Like you just go type, give them, generate them. Then based on the ideas generated, now you can actually work with whatever they've generated for you. You just have to look at it from a point where, okay, how can I leverage on this in such a way that I'll not be stuck at where I am, because BlackBerry did it. And it didn't end well for them. We all know the story of BlackBerry, where iPhone came with this all touchscreen, and they were like, nah, they will stick to their keypad. And now, if they talk BlackBerry, where are they? You know, they. if some of these things are coming up, you just have to look at it from a point where, okay, how can I leverage this? How can I reinvent myself as a person to make sure I'm still on top of my game? Mike, please go ahead.
So then I want to add to the thing you talked about, AI or whatever will require some form of human efforts to operate, right? A lot of people focus so much on the technology and not necessarily even trying to develop the core skills of what you need to be a professional in that kind of industry, right? So I think what we're talking about, the Web3, and people are just focusing on Web3, but they weren't focusing on the skills you need to be a product designer or UI designer or whatever, right? So people just focus on those things too much. And at the end of the day, I think the people that the technology ends up replacing are the people who don't necessarily put in the work to actually make themselves better in terms of like the actual knowledge needed to work on the job and everything.
So, I mean, one of the core principles you learn about computers is basically like garbage in, garbage out. So whatever you feed it is what it's going to give you. So for example, something like ChatGPT, it's not about just saying you want A, B, and C. So it just spit it out and then you just take it and run with it, right? So you have to sort of have an idea of what it is you want. And then after it gives you, you have to still put in the effort to refine it to suit you. But you can definitely leverage it. So one way you can use a tool like ChatGPT for, let's say you're applying for a job, it cuts down the time you have to go through. So usually most people don't read the job description, they just go and apply, right? And then the application is not very personalized, so it's just your resume and everything. You can use ChatGPT, for example, to let it customize your resume to the job description and also customize the cover letter it is that you're about to send out based on the job description that you're applying for. And then you can even go on and refine it to suit how you speak normally, your tone of voice and everything. That cuts down a lot of time, I can tell you for a fact. A lot of time in applying for roles. So people should definitely look at that. Because it's text-based, if you have a case study, that is probably not getting a lot of good responses whenever you use them to apply for jobs. I'm pretty sure you can put it in something like ChatGPT or any other similar tool, and then it will customize it to suit a certain job you want to apply for. I'm pretty sure it can do that. Right? And even look at the instance where you're designing something like a chat app, like a customer service app. Let's say it's text-based, it's chat, and you can tap into the API of ChatGPT. A lot of your questions can be answered. It cuts down money for the business as well. A lot of the questions of your users and stuff will be answered. And even if it's a voice thing, there are certain AI tools that speak. So you can sort of leverage all these AI tools, leverage ChatGPT's API, those voice AI tools, find a way to merge them together and then leverage on them. So if you're a software engineer, maybe you can look into how to combine these things and create something, right? If you work in customer service, maybe it's about time to figure out how you can leverage these things. Because at some point, I'm pretty sure there are going to be roles on people who are very good at prompting these AI tools to get the best results. So that's one thing you can look into to position yourself for this whole AI thing. As to whether it's going to last or not, we don't know. Yeah, we can't tell, but yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I used to generate a copy recently, and I mean, people were talking about how it is powerful and all that. So I experienced that this thing is actually here to help us, because like Sam was saying, it's based on the prompts you are giving it that is giving you back an answer. And the nice thing about it is like the whole conversation from the top to the bottom is linked. So it's not taking just your last prompt as a single question or whatever. It remembers the very first question you asked and then it's linking to that. It's just amazing. What people actually need to do is just accept it. Like, it's here to help you. So you just have to be able to learn how to use that particular tool to make your job easy. You understand the whole thing about how to ask the question and then get the actual response you need and all that. It will take some people's job, but yeah. Few jobs.
What's a few jobs? Ayo, the year go end, we go know the few jobs it take. Anyway, I think the AI is not just for design. So realize coding too. They have, is it OpenAI, where you can also type in, then it will type the code, give you then sense. So as a developer, if you are using this, maybe some code B will take you 10 or 15 minutes to write. Now with the AI, maybe probably will take you 5 minutes to write, because now it will just do the coding for you. You'll be looking at it, then the rep code give you. How this one would it be?
sorry to catch you, but the OpenAI be them now them do ChatGPT than Dolly. So yeah, you can even tell it to, let's say you want to create an app for finance, whatever, then you can tell it to write you the code, right? It will generate the code for you, and you can ask it to show you step-by-step process of how to implement that code, and it will give it to you. So again, it's about how you prompt it, because you can't just say some random thing and you expect it to give you a good answer. So essentially, you are the one doing the job. It's just giving you the right ways of finding the answers, as compared to you reading an article where they will go on and on. You watch their YouTube tutorial like 30 minutes, they've not said anything, and they're just going on and on and on about some non-fair thing. This is straight to the point, and it's much better than Google. So if you realize, Microsoft is paying a lot of money for 49% of OpenAI, because they're going to leverage it. And if they start leveraging it, this is why you should know that it's going to be the future, right? Because now Google, I'm hearing Google is also finding ways of implementing this AI thing into their search engine. Because Google, we cannot agree that Google, right, their search engine doesn't really give you what, because they're also looking for money. So they will show you the ads and all the necessary things that are probably making them a lot of money. Because the more you click, the more they make money, right? But if Microsoft is able to implement this into the Bing search engine, maybe they can now compete. So now Google has to speed up. And so, yeah, it's just going to be like a war, and you should find ways of leveraging it. Guy, don't slack.
Exactly, exactly. Even right now, I think there's this plugin in Figma, Magician, where if you don't want an icon, for instance, you can just describe the icon and we'll generate one for you. Now, it will give you a fair idea of, okay, if I want to generate this particular icon, these are some of the ideas I'm looking at. So at that point, it just the speed your workflow. Even with copy AI, like the copywriting, for instance, someone asked me that, so that means copywriters, they then do your that. And I'm like, the human touch, a computer never go fit mimic the human touch. We always go get that happen in terms of the creativity, unless you are really good. And copywriters are good with words, so maybe probably they can come up with, leverage the copy AI to help them come up with better copies. And even with the copy, sometimes it's generic in a way. So if you're an expert in that field, you can actually come up with a right prompt for it to generate whatever you want as the person sitting behind it. You get it. So people making it seem like this thing, they can't take on a job. Relax. Just take your time. Maybe probably it is going to help you in the long run. Who knows? That'd be my general take on them. I don't know if someone has anything to say.
What I go add, we say at the end of the day, if you don't know your skills, you still can't really do anything much. You understand? Knowing how to use a tech won't change who you are if you don't know your skills. For example, the copywriting like this, if you use chats, whatever, to generate the copy, right? But then you lack the actual skill of copywriting to be able to go through to tell the changes that you can make or to add that human touch in there, then you won't go far, you understand?
Exactly. Because definitely, there are people that are not willing to pay. So definitely they'll hop on it. But it gets to a point where, as a business, where you are going, if you go with this flow forever, you just need someone who is skilled in that field to do the work for you. But yeah, Sam, you get any addition?
Oh no, I think, yeah. You shouldn't be scared of it. Embrace it. Find ways of leveraging it, because it's definitely here to help everybody. It's much easier now to even start a business. It's much easier to create content, do anything you want, really, because there's always a tool for that. And just like Michael was saying, focus on your fundamentals, your skills, because at the end of the day, knowing how to use Figma doesn't make you a better designer, right? It's not about you knowing your way around Figma. You still need to understand how to understand the problem, address the problem, find insights, and put all that together in the final piece, like in a mock-up or whichever interfaces that you are putting together. It's not just about you knowing how to use AI or knowing how to use a tool. You still need to have the fundamental skills, because that's what is always going to matter. But yeah, just find ways of leveraging it, because they are just here to help you.
Yeah. Inti, to wrap it up, I have this controversial quote or take. As a designer, if you don't know how, then they use auto layouts. Make you no blame your body. It's fine. Auto layout doesn't make you a great designer. So yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys for.
No. We are not ending a podcast.
Hey, man, you know if you can't.
I want to reply.
Man.
No.
Man, hey, I finish.
He just left the bubble. He wants to end the meeting. That's how I reply in another episode. Don't worry.
Yeah, another episode. I'll reply. It's a nice idea for episode 3. I'm finally ready for that conversation.
Ivy, I hope you're with me.
Oh, yeah.
Since it's 2-2.
What am I on?
Figma.
Who says it's going to be 2-2? You don't know whether we are on Figma or XD or whichever.
Exactly.
Me and the XD baby. Me and the XD baby for life.
Charlie, bye. Nobody should talk to me.
Okay. Yeah, we shall see. Even like it will be. Okay, I don't know where Henson falls, but.
Henson falls at XD.
Right, yeah, I know we'll talk. Make we left for that day. So, anyway, Charlie, thanks guys for actually listening to us. I mean, Charlie. We really did try. Anyway, so catch you guys on our next episode, Charlie. Peace.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram at The Design Jam.
Today, yeah, me are no talk. Wow.
Yeah. Just when you go to our podcast. On Instagram, Instagram podcast page. Yeah, you see our handles there.
And just to chip this in, so I mean, just like last season, at the end of the season, we did try to take one of the our fans, our listeners, out to dinner. Philip, wherever they do, our media will tell you. But yeah, Philip couldn't make it, but we reached out. I'm pretty sure some of you saw that we tried to have some small get together. So at the end of this season, to just be engaged, like, share, comment on our post, be engaging, and then hopefully at the end of this season, you'll be part of the people. We'll have a surprise. We don't know what it is yet, yeah, but there will be a surprise, so you can be a part of it.